We are going to step into part three, the end of my series for Easter, the journey to Easter. And we're going to begin with the same passage of scripture that we began with. And it is 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Everything that we read in this book is for us, not pieces and parts of it, but all of it. And we can tend, even what we call the Easter story, we can tend to just read the story and not learn from the story. We can read the story and look at what is atypically spoken about the Easter story and not look deeper and pause for a moment and see if there's something else that we need to learn about the Easter journey. Now, I've been speaking on selective parts of that journey, and we have been learning some other things that God wants us to know, some other truths that have always been there. We just have not paused long enough to learn them. Today will be no different. Let's step back to where we began last week. Jesus, on the way to Jerusalem, he tells his disciples for the third time, and he's done it in some other ways, but there's three prominent times that Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to die, but that he will rise again. And he has just told them for the third time on the way to Jerusalem. Now let's pick the story up. We talked a little bit about the story last week, but we're going to hit the pause button and take a little closer look at one of the key moments on the journey to the cross. In John chapter 12, we'll read verse 12. The next day, the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings, the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hail to the King of Israel!" Now, this crowd has expectations. They have what they don't know, misplaced expectations. Many within the crowd, because they have yet to see the Christ and the real reason that he came. And this same crowd, many of them are going to walk into some major disappointments. Let's take a moment and look at what some of those expectations were and what those disappointments became. They expected Jesus, when he's riding in on the donkey, that we talked a little bit last week how that happened. He's riding in. And they're expecting Jesus to start a revolt against the Roman rule. That's what they're expecting. And then when he turns the tables over of the money changers, they got really excited. They said, "Here's the start. This is the beginning. He's going to start a revolution." That's what they were looking for. They were looking for a king that would rise up, raise an army, and take the Romans out. But instead, there was no revolution, and there was no fire from heaven. Matter of fact, there was no stirring speech to rally the people to arms. Jesus remained mostly silent. And to top it all off, they had to watch a brutal, awful death. It causes me to ask a question, not only to myself, but to ask of all of us today in this moment before we move on. What can we learn in this moment? What should we ask ourselves in this moment instead of just reading the Easter story and moving on to the next thing? Might we ask ourselves, are we missing what God wants to give us because of our own misplaced expectations. Because we're not hearing Him, we're hearing ourselves, or we're hearing others, and we establish expectations that are not God's expectations. Because God's expectations for you are good and will bless you. They didn't know that God's expectations through His Son was going to bring a blessing and an open door to everyone. But their expectations were misplaced on who Jesus was. So we need to ask ourselves, are we misplacing who Jesus is, and we want Him to be a genie in a box instead of letting Him be Lord of our lives? Just a thought on this Easter Sunday. Something is about to happen, very significant. Something that is going to change and reset their expectations. It's going to be dramatic. And the interesting part of it is it's going to happen right in the center of Jewish worship. This dramatic event. Now, let's return back to the hill where we were last Sunday, where Jesus is being nailed to the cross, and in that moment, they call that the crucifixion. But I do not want us to go any step further than right this moment that we revisit Jesus' condition. Now, we read in Scripture that He was beaten. They put a crown of thorns on His head and drove it down into His scalp. There were many other things that happened to Him. Cat of nine tails. Can I just give you one word of what they did to Jesus? They tortured Him. They tortured Jesus. Until the history books tell us, you didn't know who He was or what He was. He was so torn and ripped and beaten, brutalized, tortured. And now they're nailing Him to a cross. They're crucifying Him. And once again, I want us to remember something, because we just read the Scriptures and we need to be living the Scriptures and know what was going on. We need to dig deeper and know what was going on and how they did crucifixions. When they went to raise Jesus up, it was a hole that they set Him in. They would wedge it once they got Him up, but they didn't just slip it in gently to be careful with Jesus. They picked it up and let it fall with a thud into the hole. Think about the pain and the agony the moment that jar happened on Jesus. Do we have to go there? Yes, we the church need to remember what Jesus did for us. And as I stated, if you want to do the medical side of it, it knocked the wind out of Him. I'm amazed that He could hardly get a breath anyway. And those of you that have ever experienced your breath being knocked out of you, there's that moment of panic thinking you're never going to breathe again. And it's amazing that Jesus could even speak after that, but He did. Jesus spoke. So He's hanging on the cross with a criminal on each side of Him. And we learned truth last Sunday concerning when Jesus spoke to God and when Jesus spoke to the criminal. Today, as we close our journey to Easter, we're going to look at the final words that Jesus spoke. But before Jesus spoke those final words, Jesus spoke to His mother Mary, and He spoke to the disciple John. He told His mother to look at John and said, "This is now your son." He looked at John and He said, "John, look at Mary. This is now your mother." Scripture tells us that John took care of her from that point forward. We don't want to miss that. It's amazing how that just gets read very quickly and nobody ever stops and pauses to the point that Jesus, in His suffering, His agony, everything, He's thinking about His mom. He was thinking about us, but He was thinking about His mom. And he's going to make sure she's taken care of. And so he speaks from the cross. Can you imagine what she was going through in that moment? Wondering, did he even have the energy to even speak to her? And she's, hey, moms, what would you be wanting to do? Whatever you could to get him down. And Jesus tells her, this is now your son. Now let's see what we can learn from the moment that Jesus speaks his final words. In John chapter 19, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scriptures, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. In most all translations that you read, if it's interpreted correctly, Jesus didn't say it with a whisper. He said it aloud for all to hear. Isn't that amazing? In his condition. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. I have a few pen truths this morning that I have put down that I want us to consider. Pen truth. Jesus entered death the same way he lived each day. Not my will, but your will. I'm going to read that pen truth again. Jesus entered death the same way he lived each day. Not my will, but your will. Jesus constantly placed his life in the hands of God, and he left the results to God. I'm going to say it again. We need to hear that. Jesus consistently put his life in God's hands and left the results to God. Who did he give all control to? God. Rachel just spoke to us today. Amazing that she would speak that within the communion. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6 is good too. What we should do? Trust completely in him. Give everything that we are to him. Let him be in control. That was what Jesus did, and that's what we should do. That's a trust in God that the church, Christians, that we should walk in. And we should live out before a world who's trying to figure out, is your Jesus worth serving? Because people are looking for some place to trust. And you can trust God. And we need to trust him with everything and quit trying to control everything. Wait a minute, Pastor. I thought we were talking about Easter. I thought we were on the Easter story. I thought we were talking about... We need to pause and learn from Jesus. You know what it took to trust God to go through what Jesus went through? We need to remember and we need to learn to live a life that trusts in God. I mean, completely. Now, Jesus has spoke his final words. Let me back up. From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it began all the stuff that was going on, but at noon, the skies were darkened. I mean darkened. Until 3 p.m. Because something dramatic was about to take place. And God was already trying to get people's attention. But as I talked about last week, they were so full of rage, so full of the enemy in their lives, they weren't even paying attention to what was going on. Skies have darkened. Jesus has spoke his final words. And then Matthew tells us what happened next. Matthew 27, verse 51. And behold, The curtain of the temple was torn in two, from the top to the bottom. And this is where we land today. This is the word God wants us to hear today. It's about the curtain. Jesus says it's finished. Matthew records that the curtain in the temple, the center of Jewish worship, the curtain between the holy place and the holy of holies, is ripped from the top to the bottom. God unleashes an unprecedented event, and it happens right in the center of Jewish worship. He splits a curtain that is 60 foot long, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. You say, oh, that's 4 inches thick. 60 feet long, 30 feet wide, 4 inches thick. That is a heavy curtain. Just the sheer weight of that thing. And it is ripped in two from the top to the bottom. I know some of you men in here think you could rip it. Now, some of the women say, look, I've got some really good shears. I can cut that thing. But think about it. 4 inches thick. It's 60 feet long, 30 feet wide. And it's been ripped from the top to the bottom. This heavy curtain that goes all the way across and separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Why did God do this? Why did he do it? What does it mean? Those are the two questions I will answer through the rest of this message. But let's pause and not bypass the curtain being torn from the top to the bottom, and not from the bottom to the top. It was torn from the top to the bottom because God himself was saying, I did this. This is happening from above. I'm making this happen. Satan's not doing this. This isn't no trick. This is me. And there's a reason I've just done this. He rips it. Now, Scripture does tell us that the earth shook and rocks split in two. If they weren't scared yet, they were getting close. I can imagine the priests, how terrified they were, any of them that were at the temple when they saw that thing split. A door was now open. When God split the curtain from the top to the bottom, a door was now open. And it was opened at the cross. When Jesus said it was finished, his words removed a barrier by his shed blood. The giving of his life removed a barrier. And it was removed because he was the perfect sacrificial lamb. And the barrier was removed. When he said it's finished, the perfect sacrifice, God said it's finished. No more priests. No more animal sacrifice. No more of that stuff. You can come to me anytime you want to. The barrier was removed. Jesus gave us direct access to God. But let's step inside the temple for just a moment and understand a few things. There's two rooms. There's more to the temple. We could go all the way out in the courtyard. We could go to the first gate when you come in. There was also actually another curtain doing it in different places depending on what you read. But I want to talk about the two main rooms. There's two rooms. The first one is the holy place where the priests would come. And only certain priests at certain times, as long as they followed every detail that God had outlined for them to do while they were in the holy place. Again, certain times, they could be in there. Certain seasons. And then you have the Holy of Holies, which was behind the curtain. Now, this room, only the high priest could go into this room. He was the only one. And only at certain times, like once a year. And he was the only one that got to meet God, speak to God, hear from God, for you and me. But here's the thing about the priest. He had to wear special garments. He had to cross every T, dot every I, do everything that God had outlined for him to do prior to going in and after he got in. If he did not, he would die. Anybody else that went in under the curtain into the room would die. We need to understand the significance of that. God said through Jesus' death, death has been dealt with. You can come to me freely because I've taken control of that through the death of Jesus. And there's a resurrection coming. And I'm giving you full access. No more priest, no more honorable sacrifices, no more fear of coming before the God of heaven and being struck down. Jesus paid for it all. So we need to pause for a moment and remember all that Jesus did for us. We just read this stuff and go on. And we need to pause and think about it. You can come into the Holy of Holies and not die. That's a big deal back then. That was a huge deal. Priests didn't like it because most of them were corrupt. Read the history. They were corrupt. They were going to lose money on the deal. Check it out. I'm right. But I'm sure they were terrified, the ones that were in there. The temple seemed like this giant roadblock or blockade to God's presence. And Jesus did away with that. Something new was birthed. You and I could come. They could. They could come now and speak to God freely without having to sacrifice an animal or go to a priest. Jesus birthed a new way. No longer being shut out, but having open access to God. Let me pause here for a moment because the Holy Spirit is speaking to me something. Sometimes we don't go to God because we think the condition we're in, we can't go to Him. You can come to Him in any condition and He'll listen. The door is always open. Jesus took care of that. There is no curtain. There's no nothing. We set up barriers, not God. We need to take them down. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you're at, what you're thinking. Go to Him. Talk to Him about it. He'll listen to you and He'll help you. You need to do that. There is no barrier. You have full access to God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You have full access. You have direct communication with God and a path to salvation. Amazing. A path to salvation. I'm going to read this morning as we continue to practice what I've been sharing, that we need to spend more time hearing the word, really listening and learning to hear what God is saying. Because back in the day, the Church of the Way, when those letters hit those different churches, they didn't have 80 people waiting to write 150 of those things for everybody. They read it, and everybody what? Listened and paid attention. They were hearing. That's why the Bible says the hearing and the hearing of the Word. There wasn't publication companies spitting this stuff out, okay? They had to listen carefully. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, you have access because of the blood of Jesus. Don't you ever feel like you can't go to God. That's you. That's the devil lying to you. You can always go to God. Always go to God because of the blood of Jesus. By the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, we have a new priest now. We have a great high priest. He's opened the door and he said, you don't have to come here. You can go straight to God the Father. We have a new high priest. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He is reminding them of the curtain. Why? Because they knew about that curtain. And he's reminding them, hey, by way of the curtain being torn, we have access to God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he's reminding them that. And today, God wants to remind you, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you have access to him. You have access to him. Five facts. There's a lot more, but let me give you just five simple facts. His final act of obedience was complete. Scripture was fulfilled. Payment for sin was made. A new door was opened. A freshly paved road to God now existed. And I use the word freshly paved because it was brand new. The road ran up to that curtain where only the priest could get into the holy place. You couldn't go any further. When the big curtain was torn down, all the curtains were taken out. Because nobody had to go to the temple anymore. They could go straight to God. A new and better way was paved for us. Hebrews 10:19 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." You know what? I have no place, no standing to get an appointment with the King of England. Charles doesn't want to talk to me. But you know what? Through accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I have a place. I have a standing. I can get an appointment anytime I want. Matter of fact, instant access to the God the Father. Anytime I want. No matter what I've done. No matter what I'm thinking. No matter what's happened to me. I have instant access to God the Father. And here's the cool part. Before I gave my heart to Jesus, before I was saved, I still had access to God, to talk to him, as I did under that trailer before I received Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I had a conversation with God as though he was right there. He said, "Well, how did you know he would listen to you?" I don't know. That's faith. Lost, crazy, broken man with two daughters and a wife, and I just knew he was listening. You know why? Because there's no barriers. Well, you think he won't listen to the hardest core person out there that's lost? Yes, he will. His door's always open. Jesus paid for that door to be open at all times. I have an audience with God that Jesus opened for me to have through his shed blood. He paved a beautiful road. Now, here's the key. That all can come and speak to God. Did you hear what I said? All. Think of the person you're still trying to deal with in your heart to love. God will listen to them. Matter of fact, they can come to him right now and the door's wide open. That road is paved for them too. Isn't that amazing? We serve an amazing God. And we have a new priest named Jesus that loved what God the Father loved as much as he did and gave his life for us. That's amazing. Hebrews 10:20 says, "By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Now, I'm going to read a quote from Charles Spurgeon. I love this quote. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom so that big sinners like me might fit through. Yeah, Charles Spurgeon wasn't a small man. Love his writings. He's making a point. Anybody can come. Doesn't matter what you've done. That's why he's saying, big fat sinner. He's really telegraphing to us, it doesn't matter the amount. The door is open and you can fit through it. And Jesus paid the price so that you could bring it to the Father. And he will forgive you. Love that. Another pen truth. The torn curtain truth. God's house is open to anyone at any time to receive the peace they seek. I'm going to read it again. Torn curtain truth. God's house is open to anyone at any time to receive the peace they seek. There is no longer a barrier. No longer a barrier. There's no person to stop you except what? Yourself. And I had stopped myself for a long, long, long time. Briefly, underneath that trailer, it's 26.1 degrees underneath that trailer. I'm laying in water, freezing, trying to fix a water line. And to this day, I don't care if you believe me or not, I heard a voice call my name. You have to know the condition I was in. I was messed up. Ask her. Yep. And I built the wall. And I told him, don't speak to me. Three times I rejected him calling my name. That's pretty hard, huh? Because I had been the person in the way. And the fourth time he said something, I started moving to the other side of that mobile home and had a conversation with God and then gave my life to Jesus under a mobile home. It's freezing. I get out from underneath there and it's sleeting. I go in the house and I tell Rochelle, I'm going home. You got to know, I was one messed up dude. She thought I was fixing to start a fight. And Tiffany, who's sitting right over here, curlers in her hair, and Dia was a baby. She's sitting right back there. Tiffany said, Mama, look at Daddy's eyes. She was 3, 4, almost 4. Look at Daddy's eyes. And then Rochelle slaps me in the face like this. Who came and witnessed to you? And I'm thinking, you kidding me? Underneath a mobile home? There ain't that many dedicated Christians. I say that to remind all of us that we need to remember our salvation moment. And remember what Jesus did for us. But it's also a word to those of you that don't know him yet, who are watching me. Jesus will meet you anywhere, in any condition, and he'll receive you. Even if you reject him, which I'd done for a long time, and even did it under that mobile home. You think, as freezing as it was under there and as wet and soaked and shivering as I was, I'd say, just, yeah, Jesus, I'll receive you if you get me out of here. You know? No. Because I thought it was just too much and he couldn't take care of it. What a lie from the enemy. Let me share my final pen words today. I still marvel at what Jesus endured, but you and I must never forget salvation comes through a cross and a crucified Christ. There is no other path, none. I'll state it again. There is no other path, none. There's no other Bible. There's no other way. There's no other system. There's one. And his name is Jesus. I can hear God the Father saying by way of the torn curtain, "You're welcome to come to my house anytime you want to, and should never allow anything to keep you away from me. Do not let your sins, offenses, crimes, transgressions, or whatever list you may be keeping, keep you away. I say to you now, my door is open. Come in." Jesus opened the door to salvation. Jesus opened the door to restoration. Jesus opened the door for your brokenness to become whole. Jesus, I can hear him. It's time for you to encounter the love, the compassion, the mercy, and the grace of my Father. I'm going to ask all the Christians in this room right now to begin to just pray. It's not about looking at me now or the screen or looking around. It's about you praying and interceding right now. You say, well, this is Easter. This is what pastors do. No, we do this fairly regularly here because the truth is his arms are being extended all the time. But there are special moments where his presence is so real, as it is now. I have two things to ask. And it begins firstly with to the church. Church, are you where you're supposed to be with God? Are you where you're supposed to be in your relationship with Christ Jesus? Are you sitting there right now stating, well, it's not worth making a move here because it just seems to always be the same? No, there comes a moment where when you fully give in, there's a full change. And this morning, the door is wide open for you to step back to where you need to be. He hasn't gone anywhere. Maybe there needs to be restoration. Maybe there just needs to be a recommitment. That is your day today. But I want to speak to the person. You don't know why. You came. You're here. You don't understand, really. You've been feeling something. You're not sure what that is. But you've been feeling this drawing. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention because there are people who love you and care about you who are praying for you. If that's you this morning, it's real simple. You just simply talk to God as I did, and then I just said, look, I don't know how you're going to fix this mess, but Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you for forgiving me, and I lay it all down at your feet. I mean, it was just really simple. And I knew I had been changed. It's just being simple with God. So first, Christian, if this is you this morning, this is personal, and you need to make that decision on your own sitting in that chair. But he's right there. He so wants you to make that decision. And if you don't serve God presently, and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, he's not your Savior, you're still out there and not in with him, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor while all the Christians are praying. I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand up so I can see you, so I'll know who you are, so that I can pray for you. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up. But I want to identify who you are because I do pray for everyone who raises their hands. And I pray until God tells me not to. So if that's you, would you raise your hand and say, I just need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior this morning. Is there anyone? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see another one. I see it. I see you. Okay. Those that raise your hand, I want you to pray with me. And here's the thing. I'm going to pray, but you let it be your words. If you want to change the words as I'm speaking, you change it. You talk to God. He's here to hear you. He's listening. So let's pray. Father, I come to you now. There's a lot of things I see in my life that's just a mess. and I wonder how it can be fixed. But I'm going to lay my life down and submit to you and let you fix what I can't fix, what nobody else has been able to fix. And Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior, and I lay my life and all of my sins that are just the mistakes I've made. I may not identify everything as how it's a sin, but I just lay everything down at your feet, and I receive your forgiveness this morning. And I thank you for hearing me and receiving me and taking me into your arms. And I thank you for salvation. I thank you for your sacrifice so that I can do this today and be made whole. It's not just about eternity, though that is part, and I'm grateful. But I'm thankful that from this day forward, you're going to make me whole. And I give you praise and honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, those of you that in the first part, don't walk out this door and not set your commitment to the Father. It's important that you do that. Amen.